The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we want to look into verses 9 and 10 today and consider our final message on a church perfectly joined together. We have noticed the words that should command our attention before God, and we are concluding the words that should command our affection before Christ. The fruitfulness of the church has been highlighted, verses 4 through 8. And now we look at the faithfulness of God, highlighted by the apostle as an eternal truth. God is faithful. But now it is an experimental truth. And we continue reading in verse number 9. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we come now in a word of prayer, thanking you for the scriptures, thanking you for the Savior, thanking you for the Spirit of the Lord, who helps us, who teaches us, who guides us and guards us. We pray now that you would strengthen our hearts by your word. We pray that you would revive our hearts by your word, and our lives would be for the glory of the God who saved us. And I ask our prayer in Jesus' name, amen and amen. The faithfulness of God to be an experimental truth means that it is not just declared by Scripture, but it is taught by experience and trial. It is when you and I have a personal experience in or with somebody or something. Salvation is not in the church, but in Christ. And we are called out to a personal relationship with the precious Son of God. Notice the verse again. We find the call of the Father. God is faithful by whom you were called. The Lord bid you and I come to Him for salvation, and He bids us come to Him for satisfaction. We have been called by the Father. We are invited to experience eternal life and enjoy that eternal life here and now. Truly, our life in Jesus Christ is for both now and forevermore. And so it is unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ our Lord that we have been called. Praise the Lord We have been placed into a divine fellowship. It is a joint partnership between God and man, designed to restore that which was lost in the fall. God, at one time, fellowship with Adam, before he took of the forbidden fruit, fell from his present state of innocence in the cool of the day, perhaps morning, perhaps evening, perhaps both. God walked in the garden and enjoyed the company of man, and man enjoyed the company of God. Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9. They walked and talked in fellowship. God desires man's fellowship, and God designed man to fellowship with him. What grace and glory are ours as we consider that God has made a way to restore this fellowship, and then even go beyond, for we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and God longs to spend time with us, to share his truth with us, to share himself with us, for we have been made partakers of the very divine nature of God. And God speaks to us in sweet tones and in sublime truths of sweet fellowship, and all possible because of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. No wonder Peter would write, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." 1 Peter 2, verse 7. The question must be asked, is he precious to you? Is he precious to me? Oh, how precious is Jesus, a wonderful Lord, a precious Savior, the mighty God. Yet he condescends to be our friend, our Redeemer. Bless his name. Truly, he is precious, and he is altogether lovely. Now, you recall throughout this series, I have made the statement that God had great plans for the church at Corinth, and I believe he did. But evidently, they were failing to live up to these plans. For this first epistle was wrote in reproof of their own lives. It was wrote in response to their own letter. And so we find in verse number 10, the words of the apostle, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So Paul is writing in his first entreaty here in the first chapter with the desire to end their division. "I would that there be no divisions among you, but that they be perfectly joined together." That is, that they would be healed, sewn back up as a surgeon mending the wound. All the divisions were gone. The believers in harmony and unity, in the same mind, in the same judgment. And so what about you? What about your church? If your church has people, then it has problems. Do you come to the congregation of the saints with a desire to end the divisions? Are we living up to what God has planned for us? Are we giving ourselves and giving our lives like surgeons with a carefulness, with a skillfulness, with great care and compassion to mend the joint and close the wound? Oh, may God help us with a desire birthed in our hearts to end the divisions, to further the doctrines, and to strengthen the deeds and lengthen the days of our local church, that we would be like those in Hebrews 10 who were thus exhorted. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. May God help us to consider the saints within our local assembly, and be one who strengthens their lives, and be one who brings a smile to their face, that we could be a Barnabas, be a son of consolation. We could be a John Mark and be profitable to the ministry. We can be like Timothy and be like-minded with the man of God, faithful to serve as a son with the Father in the gospel, that we could be like Caleb and Joshua of the Old Testament and have mighty faith and say, give me that mountain. We can take this land. We can see God's power. We can see the victory accomplished for the glory of the name of the Lord. God help us to be like the apostles and the men of the early church who hazarded their lives for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. I close with these words. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, and may God be glorified in the church of Jesus Christ in these days. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.